Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, this is 168th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
I'm Chris.
Hey! Hi, Chris. How are ya? You good? Sipping on your Coke? Burping up your Coke?
Yep.
Yeah?
He's just trying to be obnoxious now.
Yeah, I know.
Already.
Well,
not even a minute.
He doesn't have to try that hard.
That is true.
Yeah.
Porsche on the ones and twos back there?
Yes. Hi, Porsche. Say hi.
Hi.
There you go. See?
And don't say anything else.
Oh, that's just sad. No, she's going to be saying a lot of stuff because anybody that's watching us live on YouTube, if you chime in on the chat and it's something that we're on topic with or you throw out a question or whatever, Porsche will be the one over there looking at it, filtering through and letting us know your comments and questions and et cetera, et cetera. So,
et cetera.
Yes. You know,
a lot of et cetera.
Sometimes yeah. Chris comes up with a nice answer HWR questions. So if he ever comes up with one on the fly, you know, you guys can answer all the YouTubes.
Oh, the YouTubes.
Yes.
There's not the one.
No. We're so good. We have multiple.
Yeah.
You okay, Chris?
Projectile over here.
All right. What else?
Got hit with your shrapnel that came out of your mouth.
Oh, was that? Oh, sorry. All right.
It smelled like green limeade.
Oh, it was green apple limeade.
Lucha Underground! Lucha.
Hey.
Are we gonna talk about
Olé, puto? My match of the week pick right off the gun, Gift of the Gods title match.
Cuerno.
Phoenix versus King Cuerno.
Yes.
No. You're going all wrong, Chris.
Why?
Cause by the time we get to that match,
you're already erect and my jaw's already like in four pieces on the floor.
Yeah, so let's
well, lead the way, Whitey.
Hit the reverse. Let's go back. You know, back it up a little bit.
What do you mean back it up? It was the first match of the night.
But that was like 10 minutes in the show.
Okay.
Did you not see this?
No, I saw. Yeah.
The intro?
Okay, good. Okay, well then let's do the intro then.
All right. So, if you remember, Lucha Underground, season one, ending. It had a culmination and an ending, and everybody was going off on their own merry ways, and what's going on with the temple, where Dario...
Aerostar took off like a rocket.
Yeah. Drago flew
away.
Yeah, as a dragon would. Yes.
Blaze of fire.
Yes. So, and then, of course, the big question mark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was for Mysterio at the time, honestly. I thought that was just for... They don't know if they're going to come back.
Right.
Anyway.
It was a literal question.
Exactly, yes. So, of course, the big storyline culmination was who is the master of Pentagon Jr.
Mm.
And we found that out. It was Vampiro.
See.
Yes. See. So, with this new season starting off, we get 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, I can't remember the name of the psychic ward of this mental hospital. Oh, man, just the cinematography on this.
How many days was that incident?
183.
Yeah.
Oh.
180.
Okay, sorry.
And talk about just movie starting, you know, just... Lucha, it can do no wrong with this. They're geniuses when it comes to storytelling and characters. And kayfabe be damned. They're going to tell a story.
Yeah.
And in this case, 6 months later has passed. Apparently, he's had no incidents, and he's back to being Ian, whatever his last name is.
Rappaport.
There you go.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Smith. So, no, we see that he is...
It's Vampiro. Ian Vampiro.
Yeah, that's
his real name. Yeah.
So, we're having, he's having, like, little images and pictures of Dr. Stone, or you have any more
daydreams?
Yeah, daydreams, mental thoughts, or violent thoughts, you know, things like that. He says no, even though he's giving flashbacks here. And he says, okay, I can give you this antipsychotic medicine, but on one condition, you have to avoid the people and places that trigger these violent tendencies.
So who's going to pick you up?
He's got somebody.
Yeah.
Stryker. Stryker picks him up.
Well, he's an innocent little guy. I mean, it's just Matt Stryker.
Have you seen some of his photos on Twitter?
Well, you know, I mean, he's harmless.
He's got a black leather jacket.
Oh,
he's hardcore.
Is he a bad boy now? Black leather jacket.
In a lowrider. He knows how to drive a lowrider.
Yeah.
And they had the camera low, so he made him look tall.
Yeah. I caught that. But the whole, so do I still have a job type thing? Yeah. And he says, well, we've been invited back to the temple, but it's a much darker place. Mm-hmm. So already.
Already somebody forgot to pay the electricity bills. Some of the lights went out, probably because Vampiro broke them all.
I didn't want to say because, you know, Mexicans and all, but, you know, that's probably what the case was.
Senor.
Just being honest here. So.
It's fair judgment.
You would think that would be the end of the intro, right?
No.
And very good. So if you're not done with that intro, title screen, and then bam, we get Katrina as the new jefe.
La patrona.
Ah, yes.
Si.
Sorry. Yes. So, Chris, take it away from there.
I don't think all the blood is up in his brainial area.
Or unless he's
really... It's in one head. Katrina makes Phoenix defend the title right off the jump against King Cuerno.
The gift of the gods.
The gift of the gods title.
Their version of Money in the Bank, basically. Yeah.
So if you're not cashing in your gift of the gods that week, then you're defending it that week. And sure enough, he defended against Cuerno. Opening match.
Mm-hmm. All right. Opening match. I totally thought that this was going to be just a, all right, nice little warm-up match for us to get re-familiar with the thing. And, you know, okay, it's probably going to be really good, but, yeah, come on, let's be honest. Phoenix is keeping this. The whole storyline is about Phoenix versus Mil Muertes. They showed Mil Muertes on his, like, Mortal Kombat throne up there at the top. And you know.
Gotta talk about that.
Oh, yeah. It just looked freaking awesome, amazing. You know, Katrina and Mil are kind of in charge of the temple, and there's... What are you doing, Chris? Stop touching
the
boobs.
Oh, shit. Oh, you're talking about the match now. Okay. Fuck.
Is this why we got YouTube? So that we can show the world all the instances of Chris rubbing his own boobs?
There's a reason why Travis warned you with a YouTube link to watch it on your own time. Because he already saw what I did on my time with next to him while I was watching Lucha.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Eventually.
It gives me the jibblies.
We're going to give you something else, too, over here.
So,
there's a strange smell on Patches the last couple of days.
That poor cat. Where is she? Anyway, the match itself.
All pussy matters.
I was totally expecting, you know, a
squishy squash.
Yeah, a successful title defense. I wasn't expecting a squash, but I mean, it's like, okay, King Cuerno, by the end of last season, he was kind of like, you know, a second tier player. He wasn't, you know, the guy or anything.
Top of the mid card.
Yeah, top of the mid card, you know? And, holy crap, just like last season, you can't fucking predict Lucha Underground. King Cuerno won! What the fuck? He won! Now he's gonna go up against Mil? What? Why? They're gonna do heel versus heel? What's going on? I'm like so confused, and I'm happy that I'm confused. And
then you must have really, liked the little backstage vignette after the fact.
Oh yes, Cuerno, I did. Cuerno and all of his Woody from Toy Story glory. I am not poison your water hole.
It looks like he was ready to go out there over behind...
to Rodeo.
Yeah, over there behind Winkler.
He probably was, actually.
Oh, yeah. Six-pack of Corona and a hooker in each arm.
Yeah. But, he was on his Go Tejano Day outfit. And here comes, you know, Katrina. And apparently they had some sort of deal. So now I'm like, wait, what? Okay, so he's not going to challenge Mil...
However,
Yeah, he has a deal, but however, it looked like he had second thoughts after Katrina poof vanished away, because apparently she has vanishing powers.
Yeah, that was established in last season.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens once you turn the lights on.
It's the fantasy just goes out the window. Oh, you get sobered up real quick.
That's my match of the week pick.
Yes, that's my match of the week pick as well.
And it's mine too.
We get to do this for the first time on air, so people can actually understand what we do, what we do.
Okay, yeah. All right. So this is how we decide whether or not we're going to have this as a match of the year candidate. Come on, Trav. All right.
I don't know.
So we're going to do a thumbs up or thumbs down on three. Not looking. One, two, three. Defend yourself.
I thought I was going to be the thumbs down.
Yeah, I honestly thought you were as well. I really enjoyed the match, and I really got sidetracked or sideswiped by the ending. But I think that there's more to come out of Lucha Underground than just this match, and I'm not quite ready yet to just...
You're not blowing your match of the year candidacy load right now.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean...
Just stop us.
It. Yeah, I know. Just feeling it, I didn't feel match of the year. I definitely thought match of the week, but I wasn't feeling match of the year.
Yeah. Halfway through the match, we were both like, match of the week. And then the match came on, I was like, whoa. And then the finish, whoa.
Maybe I was expecting a little bit different this. I don't know. Maybe because, I don't know.
It felt like it was a solid back and forth match when there were, and it wasn't too spot heavy.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it didn't feel like...
That's how a lot of Cuernos matches are. They're not spot heavy.
Right, yeah.
You know what it felt like? It felt like Ultima Lucha was last week.
Yeah.
They didn't miss a beat all on that show. It looked like if you were a fan just catching up on Lucha and you started a month ago and you were catching all the videos on YouTube or on El Rey and then you just watched last week's episode, it didn't feel like a gap at all, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
and plus they've been playing marathons on El Rey this whole time.
Too, catching everybody up. Yeah. Now, since we do have this new medium here with YouTube, we can maybe overrule myself depending on what the people say. So, people, should I be overruled? And should we count this on our match of the year list? Let us know.
Portia, you're going to throw that out there, huh?
Yeah, Portia, is let us know if anybody chimes in on that, okay? Cool. So, let's see what happens.
Wow, and we're not even done with Lucha yet.
Yeah, we're not.
That was just
the opening effing match.
Triple threat for the number one contender to fight Neil that night.
Yes.
Ivelisse.
Yes.
Angelico.
Yes.
Son of Havoc.
Yes.
Travis.
Mm. I love it. This was, before the match even starts, we get the backstage. First of all, we get the intro of them making their big return to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was on his, motorcycle. Dirt bike. And then they were in the motorcycle. But when they come in
with Son of Havoc riding bitch,
I love that.
I love that.
Of course, that way he can grab one.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
Never let go.
The they first get in there. Katrina's like, okay, well, we can have y'all, in a match. We're gonna have you fight each other for number one contender shot, and the winner will fight Milmortes tonight.
Yeah,
and Son of Havoc, he's over here saying, well, no, it took us a year to get on the same page.
No, because they announced later, like, we're going to put the three of y'all against each other. It's like, I just know what you're trying to do. Like, we're not going to fall for it. Yeah. Wait, winner's number one contender. Okay!
No, that was even least.
Maybe I will.
Even least. Like, yeah. So that was a good setup to that. And then I love whenever, first of all, I got to give the crowd reaction. The crowd, they're due in this match too. Even when they were coming out, like Son of Havoc got a good reaction. Whenever Melissa, she announced just from Johannesburg, like when we first said that, the crowd, ooh! Because because Angelico, he's a really good wrestler. Mm-hmm. But I think to me, they realized that it was going to be
the three of them
fighting. Yeah. And I think that was...
Because the audience doesn't really get videos. They don't understand what's going on. They just see the people coming like, holy crap, wait, Wait.
So they didn't, yeah, so like, they didn't know yeah, anything about no that backstage.
Well, see, the other thing that added to that was the fact that Vampiro and Stryker were both like, well, who's going to come out and wrestle? And Angelico came out like, uh-oh. And then, you know, Son of Havoc, wait, you don't think the third is? Holy crap. Like, they were reacting as if they didn't see what we saw in the back, yeah. Which was great.
Do y'all like that or do y'all not like that?
Because, I loved it.
Because our friend, Scott the Scott, he was telling us that he didn't like how, like, the videos or the backstage things didn't correlate with the in-ring stuff. Mm. Like, how the announcers didn't know, like, who the competitors were.
I absolutely loved it because it shows that they are there in the temple in real time by the arena, not watching something on a monitor happening backstage. Like, if something happens backstage and they're out front, mm-hmm. they don't know what's going on.
But that's been going on since the entire first season. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. when Vampiro did those sit-down interviews, they kept that in the story with themselves because they knew they were aware. Obviously, Vampiro was part of the freaking interview.
Right.
But stuff in the back, no, they never made it aware.
We're going to get more
in
the Vampiro entire season. Again?
I hope so.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah. All right.
But anyway, the match itself was freaking awesome.
Another match of the week for me. The candidate. Okay. Yeah.
First of all, I did want to go back and say that match of the week is this Lucha Underground. But anyway, the match was great. The outcome of Ivelisse winning the title.
Yeah.
Or winning the number one spot.
Yeah.
It took me a split second, and then I watched it the second time whenever you watched it, Chris. You had the same reaction that I had, and I think the announcers had the same reaction when Ivelisse, everybody's all excited for like 2 seconds.
You were in the fridge getting something, and I was like, oh my god, Ivelisse won! And then 3 seconds later, oh my gosh, he's gonna die! And as soon as my face changed, even Lisa's went from like, ah, look at my titties, to, oh, fuck my titties.
Oh, boy.
I think that was her exact words.
Yeah, yes. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from there, her versus Memortes for the freaking title.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, my female wrestler of the year right now has to be Ivelisse.
Oh, yeah.
First night in, she wins a triple threat match, and she gets a shot at a male title.
Mm-hmm.
How many divas on the main roster have gotten a shot at a male title besides China against Jeff Jarrett?
Wasn't there some wasn't there some women wrestlers in the TNA title?
Oh, that world title series?
Yeah. It was Gail and Kong.
Yeah.
But
other than that, no. That's because TNA doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
But here it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Especially since she was in there doing offense and taking bumps, just like anybody else. I mean, sure, like, towards the beginning of the match, there was a little bit of, well, you're a girl, so I'm not going to hit you, and, like, oh, you're my ex, so I'm not going to hit you. You know, like, that type of thing. But then once the match got rolling, it was like, okay, fuck
Actually, there's one spot I did really like in that aspect,
mm-hmm.
was the running knee when
he missed,
and he kneed her, and he stopped, and he was going to get it. He knew that Son of Havoc was going to do something, but he stopped, and he braced and he took the impact for her.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. I don't know if that was
a... Oh, no, I saw it. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. But, and then of course the title match, the best part about that match, obviously, well, to me, what I think was the almost the false finish, the near fall of, when she did I think it was a spinning DDT.
She did a spinning DDT off the top rope and Mill didn't like power out at one.
Right.
He didn't like power out at two. Like he barely lifted his arm up. Like they made a big deal that Ivelisse literally was that damn close to winning the belt. I love
that. And that was the first, the second one whenever Katrina got in the ring and he speared her and then she went for the roll up. When that two count hit and he jumped,
that crowd,
the front row, you look at the front row,
I was like, what the
fuck? It was so close.
They just got an unexpected title change 20 minutes ago. Like, holy crap, they're going to give it to him at least? I want to get it!
Anything can happen in Lucha Underground.
Yeah. You could see where they just had the audience hooked in the palm of their hands.
Yeah.
Oh,
and man. See, the other thing too that was why the episode in and of itself was executed so well is because at the beginning of the night, you know, you're thinking, okay, this is obviously going to be Phoenix versus Mill. But then it's like, okay, well, King Cuerno, maybe. And then, like, while you're in the match, at least I was thinking, wait,
Cuerno versus Ivelisse.
Cuerno versus Ivelisse. That makes sense because it's not heel on heel anymore. It's heel versus face. Like, oh my God. And they're really going to completely swerve us with all this stuff with Mill. Like, oh, and that's why it lent itself to me in my mind to be like, wow, this could actually happen. So that, those couple of false finishes there, I was hooked. I was hooked, you know?
And it goes back to what you were saying before. Yeah. What we said all last season of the show was it's so unpredictable.
It's so unpredictable.
You do not know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's so unpredictable, and everything winds up making sense. Even the things that don't make sense wind up making sense. They explain shit later on in the episode. They explain things, you know? They all tie things together, so.
Puma came in for the save. Right. Meh.
Really?
But when Pentagon came out.
For the kill.
Yeah, Travis can attest. I was screaming like an eight-year-old girl in front of the 5 Seconds of Summer band. Like, I was, like, all over it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you liked Pentagon from last season, too.
Oh, yeah. But they made Pentagon a star in Ultima Lucha. They pretty much made Pentagon, to me, look like the next number one contender. Like, he doesn't need a belt to be number one contender. He's freaking Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
and the camera going back to Vampiro going, like, half of his mind going, should he be doing this? And the other half of his mind going, that's how I taught him.
Half of
they
his mind
ended
saying,
the show with, they started the show with Vampiro and they ended the show with Vampiro.
Ah! No, they didn't.
Oh, no.
Don't forget about all that. That I found even more interesting. Yeah.
Go
dude.
For it.
Well, one of the things that I was kind of disappointed with at the very beginning was, well, shit, this isn't the second temple. This is the temple. What the hell? You know, and then at the end of the episode, that was all righted again because their attention to detail. It's like, oh yeah, there is a second temple, and the little Asian chick is still with Dario, and Dario's trying to make a second temple. And like, who are these jabronis? Are they going to be people that we're going to see the rest of the season? No, apparently they just got, you know, beat up, we can assume, by Dario's big brother or whatever.
Matanza.
So I was like, oh man, what's going on? So now that whole thing in my mind about, oh, well, I guess they didn't actually find a second location or whatever, so they're just kind of glossing over that detail. No, they're not glossing over any details here. They're sticking with that detail. So now I'm like even more intrigued. What the hell is Dario up to? Why does he have a second ghetto temple? And why is he just getting dudes off the street to kill him to feed him to Matanza?
And he knows he's worth more. Why is he just charging $20?
Maybe he wanted lunch that day. I don't know. So, all right. Portia, do we have any people that made any comments or anything about the...
Or just Lucha in general.
Yeah, Lucha in general. Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So, with the two temples, are you going to start having matches at the second temple now? To have a second feel.
Maybe. That'd be interesting. However, here's the thing, though. Everything official only happens in the first temple. I think the second temple that Dario's in is kind of like a not his own place and not official. He's training Matanza.
It's more like
comeback.
A dojo.
Yeah, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
It felt like a big cage. Like, because he just had a big key in the... And the big door, like, it was just a big cage for him to feed people.
Just had spray painted temple.
The little stencil outline.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right. What else you got, Porsche?
And actually, there's two votes for yes, so I think you're outnumbered, so we have a match to hear.
Are you guys cool with that? Uh-oh. Yeah.
If we can get a third.
A third?
Yeah.
All right. Do you mind, do you know who the first two were?
The first two, want me to name drop?
Sure. All right. Give these fine people a shout out. Why not?
Okay. The first one is, from Fire Pit TV.
Oh, Hugh. Yes.
Hey, Hugh.
What's up? Well, it could be one of his other, henchmen, though.
That's probably
yes. Cool.
Right, and the second is Scott the Scott from Scott.
That guy.
Yes, son of a bitch.
All he has to do is press play on the movies, and then after that he can do whatever the fuck he wants, apparently.
Yeah.
We need one more.
All right, one more to chime in on that. Okay, cool.
And Hector 11, H-A-R-R, is yes, so there's your third.
Ah. Hector, there you go. Okay, fine, we got another match of the year candidate. Write that shit down. Wow. Okay, so Lucha Underground, again, right from jump, right from get-go. Match of the year candidate.
And just going back, I do want to say, Mil Muerte is doing his best Shea O'Connor impersonation. That setup, that stage, that throne.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
No.
I'm done. Go ahead. Continue.
And just that stoic look, never changing, up until he had to get up to fight evil. Everything about that was perfect.
Yeah, I was like, all right, well, I guess I got to knock this bitch out, you know?
If there were subtitles, yes, or inner thought bubbles.
Yeah.
My only thing is, I think there might be missed opportunity. Going back to the very start of Lucha of Season 1, when I said that they should sell the seasons on DVD.
On DVD, yes. Perfect. I'd buy it. I'd buy Season 1 right now.
Yeah, but I did see that.
And I'm broke.
Yeah.
You'd sell blood and semen, right? Not mixed together.
Right.
They actually did put out the LuchaUnderground.com. You can get merchandise.
So nice.
Shirts
and stuff.
Yeah, it's posters. Upgrade from last. There's like nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. But another interesting thing about Lucha Underground is that, yeah, we just started Season 2, and they've already had enough tapings, mm-hmm. but then they did a second set of tapings, and apparently, at that second set of tapings this past week, they told the locker room, mm-hmm. hey, guess what? We're on for Season 3, amigos.
Yeah, I love that. It's already, like, done. I remember, because when Season 1 ended, like, is it going to continue? We loved it, but was mm-hmm. it good enough to... you know, warrant another set of tapings and seasons and TV shows. And not only did the season do good enough, not only is Season 2 tapings did good enough already, they're like, bam, yes, there is a third season.
Nice.
It's growing, man.
Yeah, okay, Porsche has a question.
He drives for a living. There's no way he's going to drive for personal use. Travis can barely get off the couch, let alone out the house.
If
there's anyone that's going to do a road trip
to
Los Angeles, to Boyle Heights for Lucha Underground, número tres, it's me, myself, and I.
I'll go with you if we split the...
the gas?
Yeah.
Car is only $4.
Well, the driving time as well. I got to get my beauty sleep. You don't think this happens naturally,
If there's
you?
Only one announcement that tops Season 3 of Lucha, it's the announcement of Shinsuke Nakamura. NXT Dallas debuting.
So.
Was that this week?
Nakamura Shinsuke-san.
Feels like that was long ago.
Yeah.
Hey.
Shinsuke Nakamura arrives in NXT.
All right, so this is officially transitioning into our NXT talk for the evening?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Nakamura in NXT fighting Sami Zayn, apparently.
Spoiler McGee!
That's not a spoiler. That was part of the part of what they were saying, wasn't it? No? That's a spoiler? Wow. That was so much out there that I didn't even think that was a spoiler. Shit. Okay, well, hey, spoiler alert.
No, was it... WWE announced it, didn't it?
I thought they did.
They announced that Nakamura was debuting in Dallas. They hadn't announced the opponent. Because there's still 6 weeks of tapings for them to figure out who it would be. But obviously the cat's out the bag. First impression, Nakamura against Zayn.
I'm cool with it. I'm excited. I think that's going to be a really good match. However... Sammy didn't have anything else to do. Like, I mean, isn't he supposed to be taking on Kevin Owens? Isn't he supposed to be challenging for a title sometime soon? It seems like there's a lot on his plate, and they're just like, you know, throwing different shit at him.
What do you think, Travis?
I'm gonna go along the same lines as that, but also kind of throw it out there that it doesn't make much sense. Like, I get, like, Sammy's almost your... I don't know who's the face of NXT. Is the face Sammy or is it Finn? Finn's the champ, but is Sammy the actual face?
Yes.
Is he like the John Cena of NXT at this point?
Yeah. That's a point that can be debatable between the both of them.
I think that's the only reason he's getting this match. I don't know if it makes much sense, though.
Here's the other thing about Nakamura versus Sammy. Who's the heel?
Oh, I'm not even worried about that.
I am, because, I mean, are they going to try to make Nakamura out to be the heel? If that's the case, then that's going to suck, because I assume that what they're going to do is, oh, the Japanese foreigner. Like, no, come on, he's a fucking international star. He's going to be a face. He should be, anyway.
I don't know. They can go either way. I mean, I would imagine he's going to come in as a face, but...
Chris, you got this look on your face.
So Sami Zayn's in a triple threat match for the number one contender.
Okay.
This past week on NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't win.
Right.
So they're going to do a rematch on the NXT tapings I went to.
Spoiler McGee over here?
Well, yeah, because come on.
Okay.
You've watched wrestling enough. You know what Regal Regal's going to say. So if Sami Zayn's wrestling Nakamura, that's pretty much cat out of the bag. Zayn's not winning against Joe.
Okay.
So he loses twice. Number one contenders matches when he's come back saying more than one occasion that he wants to be the first ever two-time NXT champion. What kind of a consolation is that he's lost both matches and then he's going to get Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, storyline-wise, this is all kind of, you know, for
Sami. What's your fix?
Ooh. My fix is somehow along the way before fighting Nakamura, he winds up getting a number one contenders match win and snatching the title from somebody, and that match versus Nakamura is for the title.
What's your fix?
Or is that overkill for you, Trav?
Changing the opponent.
So not Sami versus Nakamura? Okay.
To me, it's more obvious money is Nakamura versus Finn Balor.
Yeah. Or
I don't mean the same for the title.
Okay.
Just a straight up one-on-one exhibition or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My fix. Take Sami Zayn off a takeover, put him in WrestleMania against Kevin Owens. Doesn't have to be for a belt.
Mm-hmm.
There's one match that's been publicized for a while by one person in particular that for some reason has not been put on this roster yet. Maybe it's because they don't want to have him suck all the heat from Roman Reigns. Fuck it. Give us Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
At TakeOver.
At TakeOver or WrestleMania?
At TakeOver.
Ooh.
Think about it.
Yeah.
What, Bryan's been cleared by everybody except WWE. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the second Daniel Bryan's back on the main roster, nobody's going to give a flying fuck about Roman Reigns. They're going to want Daniel Bryan back on top, or they're going to boo Roman Reigns' existence until he's dead. You stick Bryan on the NXT roster, then there's no hope for him to go back on Raw. There's no he's not going to crowd Roman Reigns' space. He's not going to get shade on Roman Reigns. And he's wanted this match for years. It's like, hey, if you had one more match, who do you want to get?
Nakamura.
Duh.
Hmm. That's an interesting take. I like that. Hot take right here, this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You
mentioned it. Triple threat match, main event.
Well, actually, hold on. I wanted to throw out another suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get the title and Sami and all this out of the equation for Nakamura. Why not versus a returning Hideo Itami?
He hurt himself again or something.
Again?
Well, not again, but he's not healing right on his shoulder. That's why he's
really? Yeah.
Oh, I figured that he's due up for coming back here pretty soon.
He should have been back before the year was over, actually.
Yeah.
So Hideo was supposed to be back by October. Sami Zayn, we knew he wasn't going to be back until like the
Hideo was hurt before Sami. Sami's already back.
Yeah. Mm. Which was weird because the prognosis was backwards. Hideo was supposed to come back first before Sami.
Hmm.
But
I don't know if Hideo can't heal up soon enough. Maybe it wasn't meant to be.
And maybe that's why they got Nakamura. It's like, well, this one didn't work. Let's see if we can pull another one.
And now I think it makes Hideo sense.
Nasuka. Oh,
I think I know what made sense now of the late start time. You know, I got my ticket for NXT Dallas start time 9 p.m. And we're all like, what the fuck, NXT, 9 p.m., why? Duh. So the Japanese fans can be awake at a decent hour so they can see Shinsuke Nakamura debut live.
Because
The TakeOver show is going to be live. So.
Okay.
What's the time difference between us and Japan?
A lot.
Well, I know it's 10 hours.
So they're going to probably more than 10 they're gonna hours. They're going to see them probably like at 2 or 3 in the afternoon the next day.
Okay.
As opposed to us at 9 o'clock at night. Well, 10 or 11, depending on how long the match is put up. But, that's Nakamura. Don't worry about them.
Hey.
I do agree with you that there's missed opportunity and money on the table for Sami Zayn versus Owens.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
I think they're building to it, though. I mean, you saw the tease at Rumble.
Exactly, it was a tease. Now, there's like...
You've had both of them already show up on the main roster. Is it kind of a letdown if they just have that match at an NXT show? Even if it's TakeOver? Doesn't that match rather be on a WrestleMania?
At this point, I think Owens is already established WWE guy.
Yeah, so it should be on main roster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they keep pushing Sami Zayn back to NXT. I don't know.
He's kind of floating between the two, I guess. I don't know. It is kind of weird.
They're lacking faces, no?
Well, let's kind of stop dealing with like the future and what can happen in this. Let's talk about this past week's NXT.
Triple threat main event. Go.
Well. Okay, well, if you want to talk about that first, fine. Triple Threat, main event, it was good. I liked it. I'm not over the moon on it. It's not even a match league candidate for me. But whatever. What do you think?
I like the finish.
Yeah?
Do
you think the right person won?
Well, the right person lost. Baron Corbin.
Okay,
there was a winner. So.
You know, but it would have made sense to have Corbin actually pin either one of them so that there could be a buffer title defense, because apparently Finn's next title defense is at TakeOver. So it would have been nice to have actually seen him on television in front of the Full Sail crowd having a match, as opposed to just watching vignettes and reruns of the same shit we've already seen. That's been one of our
TakeOver Dallas is the next TakeOver, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like it was a long span between TakeOvers. And
December and then April.
Jeez. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but if Corbin's the best they got for top heel, I don't know. I just can't. Joe, I'm sorry. But Corbin,
he's got potential. I don't know what it is. There's something about it is just like something's missing. Maybe it's just something in the storyline, something that just needs to be tweaked. I don't know.
A small tweak
here
and there.
The presentation, he looks like a jerk. He has pretty decent moves. The way he hit Joe with the end of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say this much. He looks a lot better now than he did 7 months ago when Joe and Corbin first had their feud. I think he looks a lot better. He looks a little bit more polished. Something's missing. I don't know what it is or what it's going to take.
Yeah.
But.
Well, it's a good thing that's developmental.
Yeah. Where they're supposed to develop.
Yeah.
A developmental show that sold out in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All right.
That match I was okay with. The real match of the night, and, you know, even with Lucha Underground being what it was, I think that there was still a match of the week candidate in there that was a strong candidate for me. And that was the tag team match with the American Alphas versus the Sweet Boys. Right? Yeah, Blake and Murphy.
Yeah.
I agree. That was a candidate for me.
Yeah. I love that
Start
match.
Creaming.
Gable. Okay. Yes, Gable.
Gable.
No.
Gable.
For Gable. I've never actually seen someone be so consistent in being able to literally wrestle people in circles.
Dude, like he was passing out freaking arm drags like chiclets, and in different variations. It was awesome.
He literally spins around and does all kinds of different. It's amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then once he started selling, you know, because you know, finally the upper hand went to the heels or whatever. I was like, okay, cool. He had his moment to shine, and then all right, we're gonna bring Jason Jordan in there, and it's like whatever. But Jason Jordan, I'm starting to feel like. Neither one is the Jannetty right now. Like, at first I was like, Gable's the guy and Jordan's the Jannetty. But now it's like, man, I'm not sure.
Did you hear what this bitch just said?
What?
I bet all your kids aren't yours.
They have a pretty neat template for a match. You know, Gable comes out a little firecracker, does all the wrestling shit, sells really well, good babyface in peril. And then Jason Jordan's like...
Cleans house, yeah. Suplex City. Yeah. Better than Brock sometimes.
Well, hey. You watch your mouth.
Well, I'm telling you, he throws
suplex
those suplexes.
Suplex cul-de-sac, maybe.
Yeah.
He throws Jordan, those suplexes. Jordan's good, but...
He's lacking in charisma.
There you go. He looks average next to Gable.
He's looked average next to all of his partners. Mm-hmm. You know?
He's fortunate he's got good tag team partners.
I don't know. I think he might be...
But he's coming up.
I think, yeah.
He's coming up.
I think a little bit.
He just needs to get out of his shell a little more. Like, he got out of... He was literally... He had, like, the charisma of a can of paint.
Yeah.
When then Gable showed up and the little bickering back and forth, the little bromance that was going on, and he was playing a little hard to get, and he finally got into it and started chanting along with him.
Yeah.
A little bit more. It is a little bit more to really, like, have him click.
He needs to have his own goddamn towel.
It was the bell that did it this time. Do we ever find a name for the bell?
Bella?
Well, Bella was one. There was someone else on Facebook or something said that we should, now I can't remember who it was, said that we should just name it after Paul Bosch and just name it Paul.
That's stupid!
Chris, you're a jerk. Those are our listeners that you're calling stupid over here. And there was another suggestion too, and I can't remember who it was.
You know who you are.
Porsche.
King Ding-a-ling Jr.?
King Ding-a-ling Jr. They're not talking about Chris, right?
Hey, the bell is on whose lap? Exactly. Dick.
Any others?
I remember last week there was Vince and Francesco.
Francesco.
Oh, Francesco.
Yes.
Not very original.
We'll keep on going with that. If we get more suggestions, let's get some more suggestions.
Brainstorm that.
Brainstorm. Give us some more. What else?
Somebody wanted me to put Bull Dempsey versus Alex Riley on this list. Who and why?
I'll go on this one.
Did you brush today, sir?
He did not.
No. What are you referring to? Did I brush what?
Bull versus Riley.
Yeah, Riley sucks. Here's my problem with Riley.
All right.
Yeah, you can say give the guy some credit, but you know what? Like, he comes off, like, he needs to, like, tone it down a little bit. Like, he comes off as too trying to be bitter, trying to be, rebellious or teenage angst or whatever. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do, but, like, quit with the squinty eyes and, I don't know. It's just...
You just think he's too angry?
You didn't like the promo, at least, backstage? Where he hit on, hey, look, there were videos for months telling you exactly when Sami Zayn was coming back. What about me? I know when freaking Apollo Crews had for breakfast. I know how many times Sami Zayn cut his nails. Nobody knew about me.
Yeah, because you suck.
Yeah, well,
there's a reason for that. You know what? It took me 2 viewings of that because the first time I couldn't hear him over his loud teeth. See how bright his teeth are in that damn thing? Jeez.
So he has a good dentist. Why are you faulting him for that?
The dude is like steroid rage personified, and he's got his pearly white teeth. Come on now. Jeez.
We'll get you a can of Krylon for you, Trav. We'll fix it up real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Just, you know,
Technicolor type A.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that episode of Friends when Ross got the... he tried to the white strips, and he...
Don't fucking lean on me. I don't know about Friends.
And it was like, they dropped lights, and you could see his teeth glow. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Tell me I'm wrong. You're not wrong. I just want to throw my 2 cents in there. I kind of like this new Alex Riley if they go somewhere with it. They called him Rage before he got injured. And it's like, okay, well, if they actually have him pissed off and beat people in a freaking rage and have him win stuff, then good. But if they have him be pissed off and mad and have him lose, then he's just a whiny little bitch.
He probably listens to Corn and Limp Bizkit too.
And Linkin Park. Be prepared for disappointment, my man. That's it for NXT.
All right. Is there any listeners that had anything to chime in on our NXT chatter, Portia?
Let's see. They said that Hideo was threw under the bus when Finn appeared in NXT.
Wait,
well,
what?
He was injured.
Well, no, when Finn actually appeared, like, because since they appeared at the same time, once Finn got there, like, everyone forgot about Hideo.
Okay.
That was that.
That's Hideo's fault.
And then, let's see.
For being blamed.
Since looks like... Oh, yeah. Well, actually, let me do this one first. Because since you spoiled McGee'd everything, Abel.
Oh, jeez.
There's a hashtag going around that says, Heal Abel.
Heal Abel. Wow. I didn't know I could be a heel.
Well, you want to spoil everything.
Yeah.
Again, Exhibit B, you listeners are so stupid. Hashtag Fire Abel. We had this last year. Hey, did y'all forget already? Or is your memory as strong as Abel's? Hashtag Fire Abel.
Anything else, Portia?
Well, since we this cat's out of the bag, do you think Sammy will be the heel when Nakamura comes out?
No.
Nope. No.
This is typical.
Sammy's not going to be the first. Hold on. That could be interesting.
No, this is typical New Japan where heels and faces don't matter once you're in the ring. AJ Styles and Nakamura were both heels in our Match of the Year candidate. They just both liked them both so much that they just cheered for both of them. Except those little Asians in the front row, like the little birds from...
I just can't picture Sammy as a heel.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah. Has he ever been a heel? Even as Generico? Was Generico ever a heel?
No.
They're two separate people. What are you talking about?
Oh, spoiler Abel here. Yeah, again, Fire Abel. Yeah.
He pulls things all the time. Nothing.
You do it once. I do it once. I lied.
There's a hashtag.
Yeah, I admit it from the start, though.
I didn't realize it was a spoiler. It was such common knowledge. I thought it was already spoiled.
Let's take a break and put you back in your place.
Okay.
All
right.
Taking a break?
Yeah.
What do we got when we come back?
WWE.
Oh, that
and
thing.
Our weekly episode of ER.
Of ER, you say? Oh, God. All right. This ought to be good. All right, guys. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about all that stuff that he just said.
Hey everyone, check out our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind, where you can join myself, Xavier, and sometimes even Chris as we talk about our favorite movies, TV shows, cartoons, music, video games, and much, much more. So always check us out at popculturerewind.com. You can find us on iTunes and the Stitcher Radio app. And always remember to pop your culture.
In a world where two friends...
This is Mandy.
And this is Aaron.
Two chick friends decide to have a podcast about geeky stuff.
Say something into the microphone, mother...
Join us for danger.
Ah, spiders!
Oh God, they're made out of metal and stone and they're the size of cartwheels.
It's on my face. Struggling like Joffrey at a wedding and he's ripping at his throat. Babe, help me.
And it's full of demons.
And it's full of demons.
Romance.
There was this really hot chick down by the river and she took her clothes off and I had to have a tumble.
Asking the hard questions.
Why would they spend half a chapter talking about a rock that fell over?
This is CastroQuest.
This is an awesome story.
I know, right?
I can't wait to see it when it comes out on video.
This is Jeff.
This is Aaron.
And this is Deep in the Heart of Texas Podcast. If you like films that are full of blood, guts, and gore, and...
whores! If you like boobs, if you like women, you like the Scream Queens, the Scream Kings...
Movie reviews...
and toys, and collectibles...
then look no further than this horror podcast.
Check us out on Facebook, social media sites, Podbean, iTunes.
Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Bring the whores, we'll bring the funny.
And we will keep it scary.
Hey, what's up everybody? It's Ivelisse Velez, aka The Huntress, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
All right, guys, and we are back. Thank you for sticking through our commercial break. We very much appreciate it. You know, if you're listening through, you know, the podcast old-fashioned method, that's cool. We still do that. But if you're on live on YouTube, you are seeing I'll pass through the whole facade here, so you saw that we didn't really go anywhere. But if you want to be like the cool kids and watch us poke our nose and gesticulate and do all that stuff, make sure you do that on Tuesday night, next Tuesday again, and Chris is actually poking his nose. Ugh. Chris. You're really getting in there, ain't you? Oh, he just licked his finger.
Tastes like chicken to me.
Is that Nashville hot, huh? Oh. Oofta. Okay, so yeah, YouTube at 8 o'clock Tuesday nights.
That was actually a good one.
Yeah, no, I am not high fiving you with that hand, sir.
watch before the fight's
look,
over.
Me. Look, Portia's giving you a napkin. Here, take the tissue. You cochino marano. Ay.
Now Porsche doesn't want to hand to me. I don't know why.
Jeez.
Before the night's over, I'll get him. Mm.
So anyway, I think we have more wrestling to talk about
there
now.
There were three different programs on WWE television this week. Okay. So we're going to go in chronological order. Last is Raw. Before that was SmackDown. And before that, ER.
ER?
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to start with your boy.
My boy.
Bret Hart.
Oh, yes. Bret Hart yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday.
He has butt cancer.
Damn it, Chris.
You knew that was
going
to happen.
I guess so, yes.
I don't know why you surprised.
Bret Hart has prostate cancer. Not quite butt cancer, but yes. No, stop it, Chris. That's the same finger that you had in your nose.
Have you had your prostate checked before?
Shut up. Anyway. There you go. Yes, Bret Hart has prostate cancer. He came out on Facebook and, you know, basically said what's going on with him. This is his, second time going through some really big medical thing. You know, the first time with the stroke and all that. And he's saying that he's, you know, got to be strong and go through it and, you know, tackle on, this whole thing. And started this hashtag Fight Bret Fight. And, man, that was a tough pill to swallow. Like, oh, geez, now Bret's going through this. But, you know, he's fought through stuff before. I'm hoping he'll be able to fight through some stuff again. Thoughts?
He's had... Like, life has just thrown all kinds of shit at this guy.
Yeah.
And just when... I mean... What else? I mean... Mm-hmm. Stroke and all the... You know... All the stuff with the family and just all the operations he's had lately and now the cancer. It's just... Give this guy a break.
Yeah.
Good lord. You hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, but God, cancer's a dick.
Yes.
Who have we lost already because of cancer? In the last couple months?
Like all the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Lemmy, Bowie.
Well, Lemmy wasn't cancer, was it?
Was he?
I don't think it was.
Well, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know anything about pop culture.
But, I mean, there's been...
You're the pop culture
not
guy.
Not just the last couple months, but cancer. I mean, it's
yeah.
Always. It's, yeah. You know, it's just a dick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Let's see. How about Sheamus?
Oh, what's wrong with Sheamus?
Can you see the Twitter picture?
No. What happened?
Cast on his hand.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Tendonitis.
What?
Tendonitis, yeah.
What? Tendonitis?
Yeah.
Apparently, I mean...
Don't you get that from jerking off too much?
My hands are fine. It's my back that hurts, remember?
That's why you're doing it upside down.
I know. No, I do standing
doing
up.
Doing a handstand, right? With the same hand. What?
No, the Wisconsin wheelbarrow.
Ah, yes.
Oh, jeez.
No.
No, don't high-five this guy. Do not high-five him. Like, yes, give me those tissues.
This whole time,
yes,
I just thought you were sweaty.
Apparently,
something else has been going on. You sick son of a bitch.
Move that up over here. Alright, so anyway, okay.
I might have a herniated disc and a torn rotator cuff from my falling down the stairs and I haven't gone to the hospital. Do you expect me to use a Kleenex?
I guess not. Yeah. All right. So, okay. Sheamus hurt his wrist. Is he going to be out for a while? Tendonitis. That just sounds like
past mania. Apparently,
he's going to have a limited TV role. So, I imagine they're still going to have him out there, having a presence.
Okay. Maybe I'm just an idiot. What exactly is tendonitis? Like, why? What happens with that? Like. Okay, nobody knows, apparently. All right, thanks.
But thankfully, he's the only League of Nations.
It's a strain on the joint, right? Something with your joints.
Okay.
And he got in
his... Something with his tendons, because if it was with his joints, you would think they call it jointitis, right?
Jointitis.
Thankfully, he's the only member of the League of Nations that's hurt, right?
How have you made it in society so far in life? I'm trying to figure that out.
Fake it till you make it. That's why the lights are normally off. He's not the only League of Nations guy that's hurt, though.
I feel sorry for BBVA Compass Bank.
Del Rio! Right.
Hold on. What do you got, Porsche?
The correct answer is tissue connecting muscle to the bone becomes inflamed, so he has an inflamed wrist.
Oh, ooh. It's flaming. Okay.
Lana's cheating on Rusev with Sheamus.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Speaking of the league.
Was that Randy?
No, I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, you looked it up. Okay, that just sounded like
that
something
sound
Randy.
Like a Randy thing.
Yeah.
Del Rio's also twitching.
Del Rio? Also. League of Nations? Also. So it's going around, apparently.
I'm telling you. What was his injury again?
Apparently, he took a suplex incorrectly from Brock Lesnar, either during the Rumble
you don't
or
say.
The night after. Either at the Rumble or the night after on Raw. And that's what's hurting Del Rio.
Okay, hold on. Something's going on in the chat. What happened?
Randy just messaged me, like, so this is what it is.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Del Rio, too.
And Barrett's still hurt.
Is Barrett unhurt
so
yet?
So, Rusev is...
Rusev's the only guy. Oh, Ruru.
But he's got Lana.
Well, apparently The Rock's got Lana.
No, he had Lana. Over and over again, right?
Ty Dillinger also got hurt.
He's
at a recent house show.
He's not in the League of Nations.
Canadian, close enough.
He's barely in WWE.
That one hurt, man, because I was finally getting behind his perfect 10 gimmick.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Yeah.
And now he's
What's hurt on him?
His sprained knee.
Yeah.
Because he took a land, he countered a suplex and landed on a zero or something.
Really?
So I guess you could say the landing wasn't a 10.
Come on, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Bad news, Nikki survived her surgery.
Did you say that as bad news? You're a dick.
Does this surprise anybody?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Why do we keep him around? I really don't know.
Well,
not only did y'all keep me around, y'all brought Porsche. So y'all have no one to blame but each other and yourselves.
Porsche, you want a job?
Get up, Chris.
Oh, hell. Oh, no. No, now the chat's going to go all the hell.
Yeah.
Because Chris is just going to call everybody stupid. No, you just gave him a high five.
With that clean hand, you idiot. I poked my nose with this one. I scratched my balls with this one.
Your shirt's starting to melt.
Travis, do you have any Purell?
No, I got tissue.
I don't think a tissue's going to cut it.
No. Flamethrower might, though.
Hi. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
The injuries. Why are all these people injured? Do you know?
They need off days.
They're doing it on purpose?
Oh. You know, now that you bring that up, interesting segue. Friend of the show, Max from Wrestling with Subtitles, he's taken up a new cause. He has a petition going around for WWE other wrestling organizations to do a like an off-season, kind of like Lucha Underground. You know, basically to help prevent injuries and, mm-hmm. you know, let wrestlers' lives be a little bit more prolonged and giving them time off so they could rest and heal their bodies.
Prolong their health.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you know, that way they're not, you know, like broken down by the time they're 35.
I don't like this at all.
No?
No, only an asshole would support that.
Really?
You can have days off or off seasons. What is this?
What would Darren Young do with days off?
What is this? Football? Basketball? What is this?
Lucha Underground, duh.
Yeah. Hey, you man those lines, you shut the hell up.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Well, don't worry, tomorrow nobody's going to hear y'all. Nobody's downloading this shit, so.
Aww.
I'll make sure of it.
Again, why do we...
I don't know.
Scott says, what the hell? I left for 2 minutes and Chris grew boobs and got darker.
Thank you, Scott. This is why he's our friend. This is why you should listen to Stoppage Time with Hero and Hammer.
There you go. Yeah.
This song, are they even having episodes now?
The new season starts in March.
March.
Yay.
Okay, March. So, yes, get ready for that. Yeah, we might have Max back on the show to let him defend himself against apparently Travis.
Who's... I was being. I was kidding.
Yeah, we need to get Max back on the show. We'll see when we get a chance to do that.
But seriously, Vince is going to do.
No. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
Chris, you're talking too loud.
Yeah, stop, Dick.
Good thing we did my computer.
Actually, I'm actually
that is your computer.
No, actually, I'm getting kind of nervous about what he's talking over there. Can you also?
Yeah,
back?
Yeah. Go back. Please.
Do crowd control, Porsche.
You need to Lysol your computer before you get back to it. Yeah.
I don't want to touch it anymore. Now there's mucus and pubes all over it. That's what you get.
That's not mucus.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, fucky. Okay. So SmackDown.
Hey, Stinky.
Hey, Baldo. I can see the moon off of your forehead.
We're not even outside.
I know. That's how bald you are.
What did you do to this guy?
SmackDown.
I didn't watch it. Travis, what happened on SmackDown?
I like it. I'm at the point where I can say without shame, I'm liking SmackDown.
Same here. Thank you.
It's off and on. I've been watching it, but this is because. For a while, I need to get caught up on Raw. So, that's why I started watching SmackDown. That's what happens when I'm on the cable. Sorry, folks. But
it does a good job of catching up on Raw.
It actually does. But ever since it moved to USA, I think...
The USA.
What is it?
The USA.
Oh.
The USA. Oh, the cool kids call it the U.
Nobody calls it that. Yeah. So, no, but...
USA?
See? He's cool.
Ah, I see what you did there.
See?
Pat yourself.
See? Hey!
I'm gonna say it again. We've said it last week. Mauro Ranallo makes everything interesting. Already, I did not give a flying fuck about Curtis Axel wrestling anybody, even if it was AJ Styles. Until Ranallo talking made perfect sense.
Take that, ADB.
That match was exhibition for sure. But dude, we finally saw the Styles clash on WWE TV.
Ah, yes, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Too bad it was wasted on SmackDown.
And I was going to say wasted on Curtis Axel. But,
remember, people still don't watch SmackDown.
So he sold it in a weird way. Like Curtis, like when Styles put his legs around, like he like held on to his, like, it's like, come on, dude.
That's a safe way to do it without breaking your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask Yoshitatsu.
Yeah. I know.
There was a pretty decent match that came out of there. It was, as soon as I saw the graphic for it, I was like, okay, this should be good. Callisto. Versus Neville.
That's a match of the week candidate for me.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was.
If it weren't for Lucha, that might have been my pick.
Really?
I liked it a lot.
Above the Sweet Boys versus the Alphas.
It wasn't perfect, but it was their first encounter, and I could see them...
The potential for more.
Exactly, yeah.
And for once, it wasn't like, oh, little guy versus big guy, since they were both little.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Neville was doing power stuff because his opponent was his side. Like, Kalisto went from the top rope to do, like, a senton splash.
Yeah.
Neville just caught him and straight sat down, powerbombed him. That's nothing. Damn. Neville would never do that against, like, Stardust.
Or Kevin Owens.
Owens. Or Big Show. But he did it to Kalisto.
Going back to Mauro on commentating, there was a big setup for a... top turnbuckle move, and it turned into a Hurricanrana off the top turnbuckle.
Oh,
what? How do you think it was called on SmackDown?
How do I think Marvel?
How do you think, like, a WWE commentator? How do you think they would have said that move? Just competitors on the top turnbuckle. One does Hurricanrana.
Let me see here. Oh, they're up in the high rent district, Marvel.
That's very good. Yeah. No, Super Frankensteiner.
What?
You remember that? That one time?
What?
In WCW, where that guy, the Steiner guy,
yeah,
did that move and they call it the Steiner?
Yeah.
Super Frankensteiner.
And he did it like 33 of the third time.
And he yelled that shit. Like, he meant it. Like, he didn't accidentally shut up. Say this? No. Super Frankensteiner!
Wow.
What was the other move that night that he called that it was, that he named, Ambrose had a move that he called that, Ronaldo called it after a
killer catapult.
Yeah.
The move where he goes back to the ropes and comes back and closes.
Oh, the Jawbreaker Lariat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a different move in England because it's named after a popular wrestler in England. Oh. And Ronaldo knew it and called it by that term that he
now,
knows.
Now, is that why Ambrose is doing the move in the first place?
He's been doing that long before.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, when he started doing the move, did he...
No one ever mentioned that, ever.
I just wonder if that's why he started doing it.
Yeah. And... Well, Nigel McGuinness, pre ROW days, WrestleMania 25 era, ROH. That's the only other wrestler I've seen do it.
Hmm.
And they never called it that either.
And I think Nigel does it better than Ambrose.
Which is weird because he's taller.
Mm-hmm.
So it would look really awkward, him like falling down the segment. But he yeah, I like McGinnis's better.
Hmm. McGinnis is taller than Ambrose?
Oh, yeah.
By about maybe 4 or 5 inches. Yeah.
Maybe not that much, but yeah.
It just seems like Ambrose is like a really tall dude. I don't know.
Really?
It comes. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because we see him in a WWE ring and we saw Nigel in a ROH
smaller
ring.
Smaller. Yeah.
Maybe there's a. You know,
yeah. Maybe some of our listeners perception have height tail of tapes for us or something.
There was one other thing on SmackDown that we were surprised that the SmackDown audience or the WWE Universe General caught on pretty quickly.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
Watch
yes.
that hand.
No. Whoa. Whoa.
What the hell just happened? What's going on here?
Okay, New Day was cutting a promo.
Again.
Okay.
The New Day, we complained. What are they doing? Where are they going? What are they doing?
That's my complaint.
They're focused their entire promo on SmackDown against The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finally bashing their attention at someone. And it was a lot more entertaining.
Which also came down to Usos, too.
Yeah.
Which prompted the Usos to come out. And that's when the New Day was talking, and then you hear Usos' music playing, and then they just come out on the mics, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then while they're doing that, the fans, surprisingly, are going along with him. Whoa, whoa. And then he stops saying whoa when he's still doing
the hand
this,
gestures.
And they're still saying whoa. And then he goes back, and then, well, he puts his hand like this, and goes, he slowly goes back, and the audience goes, whoa. And I was okay.
Nice.
Yeah. I give WWE audience credit on that one.
That's
yeah.
the first time I was actually interested in the Usos in a long time.
And then it dropped.
Well, yeah, because it's New Day. But still.
I love New Day, or Big E saying the Uso family, they got an allergy to gold. They're allergic. They're allergic to gold. Where's your gold at? They don't have any gold because they're allergic to it.
And that continued on Raw, right?
Yes.
Because you were saying that you liked what you saw on Raw.
Yeah.
And we told you, hey, it sounds familiar because it happened on SmackDown. And then what did we finish the sentence with? Watch SmackDown.
Ah.
I'll say, I'll tell people, check SmackDown.
I had no issue at all skipping Raw last night.
Right.
SmackDown was enough WWE main television for me.
That was enough for you.
Yeah. 2 hours. Okay. Good wrestling. It was actually entertaining between the two matches we just
talked
about.
Think of SmackDown as like old school Raw.
Okay.
You still have your main lister, you know, A-listers on there. It's only 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and you have good commentators. Or mm-hmm. 2 out of 3.
Wait, who's the third?
A heel Jerry Lawler.
That's the other part. I don't know if you guys
don't. No.
I don't know if you guys. No. I don't know if you guys read this on Twitter.
You just said it wasn't good.
No, I said a heel Jerry Lawler.
Well, you said 2 out of 3.
Right.
Well,
like, the third one is Saxon.
Oh.
Yeah.
He made he actually got some heat because I've been reading a lot of stuff online. He made this comment towards AJ Styles where Lawler said, well, I've been wrestling and I've got probably some of the most, might have the most championships ever on this roster, but you don't hear me brag about that here because once I get here, nothing in the past matters. If I don't accomplish anything here, then I'm nothing here. Lawler specifically said that towards, directing it at AJ Styles for the history of AJ being all around the world and all that. And, number one, again, complimenting that nugget with what Mauro Ranallo's throwing out and the fact that it solidifies Lawler, not just like a douchebag heel, but just like a heel that can back up what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, fuck Raw. I'm watching SmackDown.
There was one thing during the Kalisto fight. Lawler was saying some kind of, I can't remember what the statement was, but Byron's actually like, I agree with you, King. And like, King says, please don't.
Yeah. Even as a heel, you don't want to be associated with Byron Saxton.
Nice.
The literal black hole of commentary.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
On Raw.
That was kind of racist.
New Day.
Oh, yes. New Day on Raw. Oh, God. I didn't get to see the stuff on SmackDown, so I didn't have that frame of reference. But just watching on Raw, I immediately thought of the criticism that you had, Trav, where they were just going out there saying funny stuff but not directing it at somebody. Mm-hmm. They were, again, directing it towards The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way that they put it, The Rock's cousin and The Rock's cousin's friend. which is great. But yeah, they were actually aiming at somebody with all their shenanigans, and I really liked it.
You know, one thing I'm digging about this last 2 or 3 weeks of New Day, they're really amping up this. They're in a PG world.
Yeah.
So they're trying to be these hard-edged heels, like trying to like talk shit to their opponents with the cans. So they're saying booty this and all this. Big E said something on SmackDown. I can't remember what it was, but it was doo-doo. That's what it was. You doodle head or something like that.
But he saves the good stuff for Twitter. Oh. HBO Ballers, you just lost a viewer. The star of your show is a total dick.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed to Big E's on Twitter.
Shinigami, right?
I can't remember what he's calling himself now.
Yeah.
I forget what it is now.
At WWE Big E.
There you go.
Ta-da. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Portia. What else?
How about Miz TV from Raw?
Oh, yes. I know that you guys make fun of me because I like The Miz. But I've been waning a little bit on how much I like The Miz. I'm like, yeah, you know what? He's not as cool as like he used to be. Last night, though, I started to come back a little. The way he was trolling AJ and just kept going on and pushing buttons and like he was still right about stuff.
Like a heel.
Like a heel. A good heel. He did it well. I liked it. So I think that WWE is trying to mask AJ's lack of mic skills.
Miz did us a favor.
Yeah.
Whenever I first heard, I'm glad you said that, because as soon as I first heard that AJ was going to be on Miz TV, I wanted to text y'all real quick. I was like, this can be really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they were smart enough to accentuate the positives, mm-hmm. hide the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well played, WWE.
Yeah.
But when are they going to let AJ do something? Eventually. Because at some point,
after
like...
After Fastlane.
Yeah.
Like, to talk, you mean? After Fastlane?
Or a big program.
Yeah. This is very simple. AJ's going to wipe through a lot of these guys up to Fastlane, and then the next night on Raw, it's going to be like, hey, I came here for competition. Where's the competition? Out comes Daniel Bryan, maybe. Or somebody that can get... Or Owens. Or somebody with independent credibility that can give AJ a run.
Hmm.
You know, I've seen rumors that Jericho wants to do a rematch with him at WrestleMania. It's like, where we saw it for free on Raw.
The one person that he hasn't had interaction with since the Rumble was the guy that eliminated him.
Owens. Who was it?
Owens.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they could do something with that. There's so many
Owens Styles for the Intercontinental title.
Maybe
that'd be cool.
But what about the whole Sami Zayn build?
What about it?
Something has to get sacrificed.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
I mean, that's not going to happen. Sami Zayn is, especially with the Nakamura thing, he's not going to be in WWE for a while.
Mm. Yeah, because Nakamura's going to kill him. Boomaye! Poof! Right in the face. There goes his other shoulder.
Well, this isn't Strong Style?
Oh. Oops. Me no get memo. All
right. What else we got?
Sasha and Team Bad Able.
Okay, here we go. So we've been waiting for the team stuff to go away with this whole Divas Revolution. We kind of got that with Team PCB.
Remind them of the teams, PCB?
Yeah, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky. Mm-hmm. They're no longer teams. Paige has gone away. Charlotte's the heel. Becky's the face. We kind of got that with Team Bella, but only because Nikki is injured, but we still have Foxy and Brie out there together. So presumably, but I'm kind of okay with them as a team because, well, Brie and Nikki are twins and, well, Foxy's Foxy. I don't know. Like, if you have to have one exception, it's them. Team Bad definitely needed to be split up. And the reason why Team Bad needs to be split up is basically just because of Sasha. I want Sasha to have her own personality, her own gimmick, her own run, her own everything, you know, because I think she's that good. When she came out and she pretty much said, hey, I'm done being in a team, I'm doing it on my own, and boom, let's go. I was like, cool. Please don't let Team Bad come out and like make this a thing. And then they came out. I'm like, damn, this is going to be a thing. And then she Sasha kind of diffused it. It was like, hey, look, I respect you guys. I still like you. We can still do the Unity stuff, whatever. tragedy. But you know what? Let's just go on.
Unity.
Let's just go on and separately. And it seemed like they were going to end things amicably, but hashtag wrestling. Of course, that didn't happen. At the end of the match with her and Becky, you know, the team bad members got...
Went bad, yeah.
And they kind of beat up...
Both of them.
Well, they tried to beat up both of them, both Sasha and Becky. And then Sasha and Becky started beating up on them. So here's my problem. Now we're going to have like the obligatory somebody left the team, but now they're fighting the team feud again. And it's possible that we have another team, which is a rehash of Becky and Sasha, which, I mean, I don't know if they're going full tilt on that, but they could totally do it. And I could see WWE doing that. So instead of getting, you know, Sasha breaking away by herself without the ramifications of having to have her fight fucking Tamina for 6 weeks, you know, it looks like we're going to have that. And she's going to be teamed up with Becky, who just got out of a team, you know, so... I don't know.
Are they going to do a slow burn until WrestleMania for Sasha versus Charlotte?
Versus Becky in a triple threat.
Okay. Well, regardless, Sasha's going to wait until WrestleMania to get a title shot?
Maybe.
Okay, so...
Go through Naomi first?
Fastlane. Well, I'm thinking, how many weeks until Fastlane?
Three?
Two?
Two?
Okay.
Who?
This week is the Super Bowl. Next week is Valentine's Day. The weekend after that is Fastlane.
Well, we'll see you guys' priorities in order.
Actually, the second week is Valentine's Day is Deadpool opening weekend.
He's not high-fiving you with that hand.
Deadpool. Yeah, I'll be watching that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and twice on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's worth it.
Sure, it's going to be a good
one. So anyway, my point was, is... I don't know if they're just going to have this blow-off match, this tag team between Tamina and Naomi versus Becky and Sasha just on Raw, or are they going to wait 3 weeks of, you know, one-on-one matches?
We're going to have Becky versus Tamina, and then we're going to have Sasha versus Naomi, and then they're going to fight together at the pay-per-view, and then, oh, Jesus. I just want Sasha to excel. Like, get rid of... Tamina's fucking it all up. I mean, really. Like, I'm
not sure, Cody. What do you really
think? I'm okay with Naomi. Like, she's a pretty decent talent. They can let
you sing her theme song out of spite.
But
more cleavage action when you shake, please. Turn down the air a little bit so that we can get some nipple action going.
No.
Who's the bigger shitty fest? Eva Marie or Tamina?
Tamina.
Whoa, you said that quick!
Tamina.
Eva Marie.
Really?
Mm. Oh, no. No, I take that back. Nia Jax.
Oh! Back to our NXT talk, goddammit. All right. You had stuff to say about Nia Jax.
Oh, yes, I did.
Out with it, sir. I forgot all about this. I'm sorry.
Apparently it wasn't that important because we didn't know what it took.
My little rant that I did.
Yes, please. Have at it.
My off-air rant, yeah. I'm pretty much done with Nia Jax. Unless there's some kind of big makeover or something. I don't know. The whole package is this flawed. This match that she had against Liv Morgan.
I think
the Jersey.
Joyzy
girl, yeah.
I just remembered that shit. Fuck.
Liv Morgan looked better in the ring than Nia Jax did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nia Jax, she's supposed to be this unstoppable monster.
Right?
And first of all, the gimmick isn't working so much that they have to have Eva Marie in her corner to get heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's problem number one.
Mm-hmm.
Second problem is the outfit. Third problem, she doesn't look like it's like she's trying to look mad or mean. She doesn't look like she'd be like a heel.
She's trying to do the weird menacing smile that Asuka's doing, but not pulling it off.
Yeah, she just looks like a nice person. But yet they're trying to make her something she's not. It's very
forced. The female version of Festus. As soon as the bell rings, she goes from diva to whore and just eats you.
No,
that was terrible.
No.
No. Don't insult Festus like that.
And then, I mean, she was just kind of, you know, like she put Liv in a
chokeout.
A chokeout hold right. for a long time.
Yeah.
And not even, she couldn't even, you know, do that right.
If she was as big of a fucking monster as they're making her out to be, or as she should be, she should have been able to choke Liv out no problem.
No. If she was that powerful, she should have choked out Bayley at fucking TakeOver.
Right.
Ever since then, no. It took her a month to recover from the thing that Bayley did to her.
Dragon Sleeper?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Neck,
yeah.
And then, I mean, she just... Liv got out of it. She had Liv in a chokehold, and she got out of that.
Yeah.
And she tried to... She did a crossbody, and she almost dropped her ass
mm-hmm.
from there. Just do your leg drop finisher and get out of the ring. Yeah, I'm done. Let's go back to WWE.
And it's just a leg drop, too.
Besides my dumbass, who do you think on the roster is crazy enough to want to go to Suplex City?
Dean Ambrose, apparently.
Exactly. Explain.
Right. Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
He doesn't know any better.
Dean Ambrose is like, hey, I'll go to Suplex City, and I'll beat you, too. And Brock was like, okay, this guy, is he really sticking up to me? Like... All right, fine, whatever. And then just, like, kind of let him do whatever he said, and that was it.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about Paul Heyman just tearing into Michael Cole.
Holy
shit. Okay, go for it, Mr. Belden.
Oh, well, I think you missed Morales. Yes. That is correct. Yes, man. Such the smallest amount of detail, and Paul Heyman just... I don't know what he does. He just, like... turns everything into gold.
Mm-hmm.
That him on commentary, I don't even know what to say about it.
Oh.
It's just good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything? I barely caught it before we started recording. That's why I just
remember. Newsflash. Paul Heyman is good on the mic. Like,
herp derp.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. not. Yeah, it's not a newsflash.
Yeah. I did see that one tweet that he did. Paul Heyman did.
What'd he say?
There's a screenshot of him with his arms crossed, staring a hole into Michael Cole. And in his little tweet that he says is, I didn't mean to stare at Michael Cole the whole time, but I just have such contempt for him personally and professionally. And I read that in his voice.
You know, I think that's the same kind of look that you're always giving Chris.
Probably. I don't know. It's you, probably.
No, that's the look that Abel gives food.
Mm. Suplex it.
What are you guys thinking of Brock at this point?
I think that there's going to be a little bit more build for a while for me to get totally behind whatever he's going to be doing at Mania. And I don't know if that's actually even going to be him with the title, challenging for the title. I don't know at this point. Like, I really have no idea.
Why'd you ask? Because I wonder if this is seconding what I said a couple weeks ago. Take your time.
Lesnar against anyone in the Wyatt family? Eh.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
You know, right now when I was even answering your question, I totally forgot about everything with him and the Wyatts.
He seems like I said a couple weeks ago, he doesn't seem like that big of a deal right at this moment. However, once he's in that main event scene with Authority and all these other main event players, he feels like a big deal. But when you put him, it is with the Wyatts. Because when you put him in with the Wyatts, he doesn't feel like it's just
give me Reigns versus Ambrose. I mean, give me Lesnar versus Ambrose at WrestleMania. I'm fucking in.
They built it very well just in that one on Raw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was enough for your build right there.
Well, hell, with the backstage segment with him and Triple H, where Triple H just pretty much told Paul Heyman, hey, get out. You know, I'm ready for Triple H versus Brock at Mania. Hell, I'm here. I could see myself being ready for a rematch between Roman and Brock. But the thing is that Brock's kind of in this limbo state right now. Like, yeah, sure, he's in the match.
It's almost like he's part-time.
Yeah, he's in this match with Dean and Roman, but he's feuding with the Wyatts, which isn't a fucking thing that should faze him. But now the Wyatts have the Big Show to contend with. Like, okay, well, what happened with them and Brock? Like, I don't know. It's just all a little murky right now.
Do they do anything? What do the Wyatts do on Raw?
They got
beat up by the Big Show.
Yeah, they got beat up by the Big Show. Okay,
but was there any interaction between Lesnar and the Wyatts?
No.
No.
Maybe that was a thing. It's not a thing anymore.
But, where's Bray? Porsche's asking, where's Bray? He was on there last night, wasn't he? With that whole kerfuffle with Big Show, wasn't he?
Yeah, thought so.
No, he wasn't?
Uh-huh. Oh, well.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter where Bray is.
Somebody wanted to mention Dolph Ziggler versus Kevin Owens from Raw. Who and why?
Because it was me, and it was because I thought that was also maybe match of the week worthy. And I was very, very surprised by the outcome of the match. I was like, oh, here comes Dolph Ziggler. Great. Who's he going to lose to today? Oh, here comes Kevin Owens. Yeah, he's going to die.
Yeah, we saw this last week.
Yeah.
And the week before last.
Yeah.
And the week before last.
Yeah. And the match was good. It was stiff. It was polished because, you know, they've had matches before, so you know that they know what to do with each other. Kind of like, again, the same series between Ziggler and Del Rio in 2014, where every week it was a match of the week candidate for us. This particular match seemed like they tried to add more layers to it and went a little bit further on with, like, the stiffness and just crazy shit that they were doing to each other. But it was good. It was solid. And then Ziggler wins, and I'm like, what? So that little bit of hope that's inside me, that special little spot in my heart for Dolph Ziggler just kind of grew a little bit. It's like, wait a second. Are they going to do something with Ziggler?
It's not your heart, that's your pants.
Regardless, the point still stands. Eh? that maybe, like, there's a little bit of hope there with
there's
Ziggler.
There's no hope.
And not at all?
No. Dude, last week or 2 weeks ago, he had face paint on teaming up with the Usos.
Really? Yeah. I must have missed that. That's funny.
Set of creative.
Yeah. No.
Remember when Gail Kim just kind of slid underneath the ring and nobody noticed?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I think she got fired.
Ziggler did what?
That's it for the Raw brand.
Really? Are we done? There's got to be something else that we're missing. I feel like that we're missing some stuff. What are we missing?
We covered SmackDown and Raw.
Wow. Oh, hey, ROW this weekend. It got changed from last weekend to this weekend. Don't know what happened, but...
They didn't want to compete with Mardi Gras.
Oh, yeah?
300,000 people on the Strand.
Was that there beyond our control?
Yeah.
Circumstances beyond our control?
Yeah. Because last I checked, that happens every year during Mardi Gras. You couldn't schedule it the... You couldn't check your calendar to make sure you weren't conflicting.
Well, at this point, it's wild speculation, so we don't really know what it is. But that could be a good point. I don't know. Mardi Gras.
Porsche.
Oh, here we go.
We got anything from our listeners?
Oh,
because you're writing a lot of them.
Well, let's see.
We covered that one.
Ambrose taking momentum from Reigns. All right, cool.
Ambrose taking momentum from Reigns?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a thing?
At this point, a mop can take away momentum from Reigns.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that they just use this Raw to focus more on the tension between Ambrose and Brock. I don't know if that necessarily means anything was taken away from Reigns.
No. This was a good continuation from SmackDown. Miz TV on SmackDown with Ambrose and Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Ambrose... They talked to Ambrose about... Reigns was trying to say, "Hey, look, this isn't a joke. This is for real. You know, you don't know about Lesnar. You've never been in the ring with him." And Ambrose kind of blew him off. He's like, "Hey, look, I don't need to beat Lesnar. I need to beat you.
Like, I don't have to beat Lesnar. I can easily just beat you."
Yeah.
And then Reigns like, "Well, you never did that before."
Yeah. I mean, it was a setup. It was like it was the first time that
they were at odds.
Well, no. They were saying that. There could be possibility of Ambrose fighting Lesnar in that match.
Yeah.
And on Raw, that continued out whenever he came out and interrupted Paul Heyman.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? When everybody thought Ambrose was the leader of the Shield. And then it was like, oh, no, it was actually Rollins.
That you know? Reminds me of that?
A little bit. Like, they're trying to put a little bit of shine on Ambrose. But I think it's all just a setup to be like, no, that other guy's the guy. Him being Roman. A little bit.
What else we got, Porsche?
Yeah, what else?
Going back to WWE ER, the reason why Bray wasn't there, and apparently Bo wasn't there either, their grandfather, Blackjack Mulligan, is in the hospital and is not looking well.
Oh, I did not know
but
that.
I thought Bo Ryder was in the studio making new mixes.
He was dropping fat beats.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Hot like fire.
Yes.
XXL Magazine actually claimed Bo Ryder was the winner in that brat battle.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Daddy Tanner. Yeah. Duh. That's what you win them. You drop Daddy Tanner, you're over. That's it.
Anything else, Portia?
I believe that's it. I just wrote a message for myself saying I want to see a steampunk entrance for WrestleMania for Becky, but that's just me.
Oh, steampunk. I thought you said CM Punk. Yeah. I'm like, what? Oh, no. Yeah.
He doesn't exist here.
Who? Zombie enthusiast Philip Brooks.
Steampunk doesn't exist in Dallas either. No, we're not going to see that shit.
Why doesn't it exist in Dallas?
Because it's Jerry Jones land. He wants everything up to date and modern and current. He doesn't want steampunk shit.
It could still be nice. I don't know.
That's a show, man.
That's it?
Yeah.
We good?
Sure, it's a show.
You going to ROW this week?
Fuck no.
Okay, you going to ROW?
As far as I know.
Okay, cool. We'll be there. Yay. Come say hi to us. And, well, of course you're going to be there.
It's like you work there or something.
Yes, yeah. Like, you have to be there.
Oh, Scott.
What does Scott say?
He wants to talk about the Sunny porno.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I thought we were saving that for B-roll, but all right, everybody take off your pants.
Oh, my. No, okay. Well, all right. The least interesting part is Sunny made a porno.
The least interesting part is that she reminded us.
Keep your pants on! What the hell?
She reminded us that China was in porn. That's the least part. I was spending 5 years trying to forget that China was doing porn. You know? But now, Sunny had to remind us that her and China are doing porn. That China's doing porn.
Children come this way.
Did. Well, she still is, actually.
Okay, here's what happened. This was the more interesting part that I thought. Where Sunny basically called out China and was like, hey, we're going to have a bone off, I guess. Ugh. And are you down? Of course, China has yet to respond, but...
You said it was a sex match. I said it's a fuck off.
A fuck off, yes.
Whoever fucks the most wins.
Yeah. Well, I believe the actual wording was that... I think Sunny was saying it could be me versus you.
Actual? What the fuck?
Yeah. I'm telling you what she
exactly
was proposing.
What the fuck, right?
Yeah.
Once someone starts going into a seizure shock, the match is over. And whoever can still walk is declared the winner. So I'm pretty sure China, 4 days in, is going to be like, none. Yeah.
And then she said, or we could just get another guy and see who lasts the longest and who taps out first. That's what she said.
I suggest James Dean. Whoever can take the abuse.
Isn't he dead?
Shows how long it's been since you watched porn.
Okay. I guess he's into really old stuff. I don't know.
When it was done right.
Ah.
I think this episode will be like...
I can't tell if that's the top of her head or what. No. All right.
They feel like sandbags.
Then they started bringing in weapons and toys and stuff. I was like, I don't want to get lead poison battery, lead acid battery poisoning.
Says the guy with the belt in his hand.
Do you want the show to go on or are you ready to cut this off?
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Keep it classy, indeed.
Toodles.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, everyone. We try to contain
it's always
Chris
sunny
when we can,
where the sun doesn't shine.
It was a sunny day in China.
Please it always stop. Rains in China.
Please stop now.
No, I said that the name should have been Come See the Sunny Side of China. See you in, my friend. Okay.
Quick fire TNA?
Yes. Rapid fire TNA?
Yes, fire TNA. I agree.
No,
I didn't even watch TNA.
Let me see that. Here, I'm gonna help because I've been writing a lot of.
Will you put the goddamn belt down?
So it's quick, comma, fire TNA. There you go. There you go. Shit, I'm doing her job. I'm doing my job. Fuck,
you ain't doing shit.
Alright. Except stripping.
Like, the only thing they're asking about though is there was a backstage incident between Rebby Sky and Awesome Kong.
Fuck them.
Huh?
But it was in TNA, so no one watching or cares.
Okay.
No,
but
here...
like real or that was like part of the show?
For anybody that cares.
For real?
Awesome Kong, yeah, she choked her out or something like that, or she got in her face, or...
What?
Rebby tried to change in the women's dressing room, and Awesome Kong threw her out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's the part that's interesting. They taped...
Said no one ever.
They taped Lockdown overseas in the United Kingdom. They have a Lethal Lockdown match.
Mm.
Guess the participants.
I don't care.
Okay.
I wouldn't know the roster to guess in the first place.
Lethal Lockdown. The Dollhouse.
Okay.
Versus Velvet Sky.
Uh-huh.
Gail Kim.
Uh-huh.
Maria Kanellis.
Really?
That's clusterfuck written all over it.
No, that's... Well, no. All the Lethal Lockdown matches have been clusterfucks, but that actually sounds pretty interesting.
No, it doesn't.
A Lethal Lockdown match with women?
No. Not them.
Really?
Why?
They come out in lingerie, and you want them to put them in a Lethal Lockdown match?
You're talking about... The Dollhouse?
We just finished talking about Sonny and China. Now you're complaining about a Lethal Lockdown match with the most attractive women TNA has.
Oh, they're fucking hot. But I'm just saying.
We're also talking about Gil Kim. Like, of course she can wrestle. The Dollhouse has proven themselves to be able to wrestle as well. Yeah. And like, who else is in there? Maria and who?
Velvet Sky.
Yeah, Velvet can wrestle. Maria, she hasn't been the strongest wrestler, but we've always loved her. So yeah, I'm cool with it.
Oh, so you're going to watch it?
No, because it's TNA.
Shut the fuck up.
There's our rapid fire TNA for whoever the fuck is.
Was that Scott?
No.
It's probably you.
No.
No? Okay. Who was that? I want to know. Who actually watches TNA out there? Who was that?
It was Hector.
Oh, Hector. Oh, okay, cool. Oh.
We'll give you a pass this time.
Bye.
All right, yes. Let's get out of here.
All right.